Pickaxe.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 € bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 € gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 € oder Mucki Sandwich Eis je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 €. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hola, amigos. We're all away this week, but here's an episode of 0 Degrees that I was on with, actually, for a change, three people I like. Harry,
Holy
Lydia,
crap.
And Ravs. Yeah, not these two chodes.
This is like your fucking answering machine message.
It was,
they must feel so blessed to be liked by you, of all people.
They really did. They really did feel blessed. And if you think it's called 0 Degrees because it's cold, I've got news for you. It's a red hot podcast, especially with yours truly on it. Peace.
Hello and welcome to 0 Degrees, the podcast with no qualifications where we solve your complications. I'm Harry and I'm joined by Ravs and Lydia. How
hello.
You guys doing?
Not bad. Hello.
Good, thank you. Hello.
Good.
Hello.
We are also joined by an esteemed podcasting expert. One of the finest podcasters in the Yogscast. I mean, what a special guest. First special guest, Pyrion Flax. How are you doing?
Oh, me? Oh, thank you. I'm sorry, I thought there was another guest. No, that's very sweet of you. Thank you. Yes.
How are you doing, Pyrion? You are a podcasting expert. How long have you been doing podcasts? It's been years.
I think about 6 years or something like that. Yeah,
really?
It's been a long time.
Is that how long Triforce has been going?
Yeah, I think so.
Holy
crap.
It's nuts.
What are your podcasting highs and lows? We're all newbies. This has kind of been our first little foray into it.
I would say consistency is key. Mm. People come to expect it every week, same time, same place.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mix up the format too much, but people do love a surprise edition. But I think they just want to hear you guys talk, and I think I like the idea of people writing their questions and you guys answer them, right? That's the gist of it. Am I wrong?
Yeah. So 0 Degrees is, you know, me, Ravs and Lydia, none of us have any qualifications. We literally never went to university. We are not learned people of the world academically.
None of you went to university?
Nope.
I went twice, but I dropped out twice.
Fair.
I'm extra failure.
So I guess, Pyrion, we should probably start with that. Do you have any qualifications?
I do. I have a degree in computing.
Okay.
God. What are you doing on here then? You're going to ruin it with your articulate answers.
I'll finish. I did very poorly.
Okay.
We scraped a 2-2. I did make a 2-2. So that is at least a grade where people go, oh, so you did pass. But that's like a C-. Nobody's impressed by that. So, and it was computing, but.
Do you feel like your qualification helped you throughout life? Do you reference back to those academic teachings, those lectures?
No. I regret it deeply. I wish I'd never done it.
How much money did it cost you?
Nothing.
Like, nothing?
Back in the day, back in the olden days, when
they
didn't cost money.
Yeah, they gave us money. I still got half of a grant, not the full grant, but I got half the grant that they'd got the year previously. And you had to take out a student loan for living costs. If your parents had money, you didn't have to. So you could finish university with no debt. I graduated in 1999. So Harry was just a babby. Ravs was also a babby.
Yeah, I was.
Lids was also
six.
A babby.
I was 10.
Blooming primary school goers at best. Some of you weren't even able to spell your names in all likelihood.
That is optimistic. Yeah. I wouldn't have been writing.
So it was way back then. And then, of course, now, you know, all you youngins have been fucked over by. Can we swear on this podcast?
Yeah, you can say cunt.
You can say it all, Perry, and go for it.
Well, there's no need to go that far. Not with a lady present, you know.
Perry, I'm just
people
giving you permission.
Generation, I've never said the word cunt in front of Lydia before.
Of course, yes. No.
Wow,
that's a lie, and you know.
That is a lie.
Yes, me either. No, I never would say it.
So, Pyrion, 0 Degrees is a podcast where people write in with their usually just insufferable questions, these long-winded things that don't go anywhere, or they're snappy little quandaries and queries that, you know, our grand expertise will not help them with.
Right, but it's like, you guys have life experience and opinions, and you're
true.
All, you may not have qualifications, but look, I know plenty of people with very fancy degrees that are complete idiots, so don't worry. If a question is about, you know, I don't know. Let's just pick one out of thin air, toilet training or something like that. There's no way that you could go to like university to learn how to do that. I suppose you could, but no one's going to listen to you.
And that's the point of having a podcast, really, isn't it? It's just to share your opinion out to the world and make people listen to it, whether they want it or not.
They don't have to listen. They can do whatever they like. If they don't like listen to the podcast, they can fuck off and listen to a different one, like the Triforce podcast, for example. You can cut that.
Well, I know that you guys have started doing your mailbag section. So what are you guys doing there?
So that mailbag. Was why when you guys were saying some of these emails are so fucking long-winded, the question's ridiculous. I'm serious. I had to do, like, I got so angry at the end of the last mailbag episode we did. And Lewis and Sips were like, Ted, calm down. Like, relax. I was like, listen to me. It's very simple. Your email is a page long. It's not getting fucking read. Stop sending me these things. And then occasionally you'll get one that's really long where it's like, oh, this is actually really good and this is worth reading. Some people just think, I'm just going to go into so much detail. I'm going to be fucking hilarious in this email. Their jokes are just awful. It's like, just let us do the podcast. And you guys, I don't want to spend 10 minutes reading email. People sending us corrections about physics. Actually, the quark is up, not down in this case, on the positive charge. And it's like, this isn't getting read. So yes, for these questions, background information. My wife, blah, blah, blah. I find this. What is the solution? Not... I first met my wife in the spring of 1987. It was a great spring. You know.
Keep it snappy. Keep it snappy. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. I'm not even going to say keep it snappy.
Just snap your fingers.
Lydia can't snap her fingers.
Hey, all right. I'm recovering from COVID.
Lydia needs to be careful. So just like snap all of her bones.
My COVID fingers.
My bones are brittle. Be careful.
All right, should we kick it off with a question then? Get into it? There's so many questions to do. I just feel like I feel bad that we usually only do like three an episode. This backlog is just building. All right, should I start us off?
All right, fire away.
Dear exalted brethren of the 0 Degrees podcast, my problem involves those cringe-filled memories that only enter your brain just before you go to sleep. I've had a recurring one that recently that involves 13-year-old me deeply embarrassingly attempt to ask out a girl I had a crush on at school. The short version of the story is that I wrote an anonymous poem about her and sellotaped it on the door of her locker. She didn't find the idea of a secret admirer that romantic though, and she spent the next couple of days mocking my heartfelt confession of love. Why do my embarrassing teenage actions still haunt me all these years later, and do you have any of those memories that keep you up at night? Do you think she also remembers the poem? Help me, 0 Degrees. You're my only hope.
Why
you
is it
in,
that
do you take
when
turns
you...
here? Is that how it works?
It's a free form.
Lids had a thought. I would like to hear.
I was just saying, why is it always when you're just drifting off to sleep that you always have this sudden memory of something really embarrassing you've done? Like, why does your brain do that?
Yeah, and it just makes you feel like,
your brain is weak. You're conscious. You're at that slipping point between consciousness and unconsciousness. Your brain goes, do you remember when that first you tried to impress you? It's really embarrassing. Oh, no. That's why. The barriers of that you keep up during the day to keep all those terrible memories out.
Thing is, it's such a horrible thing. That last kind of thought before you do drift off is just something that it's like
super cringe.
Stomach-turningly cringe. Is there anything that you guys have that comes to mind? Do you guys have like one of those moments share?
I've got a couple of them. Like, I remember the first girl I ever asked out, I got down on one knee, and when I think back to that, I cringe so hard, dude. I know, man. Like,
I feel so bad for you, though.
I was like 7 or something, and I was just like, oh, that's romantic, right? It's like romantic to get down on one knee, is it not?
Right.
Did she say yes?
She did, yeah. But, I felt like a fucking tit. I think back to it, I'm like, when I was seven, so, you know, I can kind of forgive myself for that one. I'm not going to share any of the other ones that creep into the back of my mind, but, you know.
Do you think she thinks about that very often?
Well, I read a very comforting fact that I'm going to, that people are too busy thinking about their own cringe moments they've had in their life before they go to bed, rather than thinking of your weird bit, right? Like, they're probably fucking thinking about that time they spilled all the M&Ms out of their briefcase or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, rather than fucking the time you got down on one knee and asked them, do you want to be my girlfriend?
I would be thinking about that, but
in that situation she might also be cringing because she's like, actually that was a really lovely, you know, what a cute moment from Ravs, and I didn't reciprocate, and that was really cringe of me.
What was she supposed to do? Get back, get down on one knee and fucking say yes.
What I'm saying, Ravs, is I think you have a lover out there that you need to reconnect with. There's an opportunity.
Your long-lost lover.
Harry, she's seven.
She's not still seven.
Yeah. Oh, noted, don't go back in a time machine. The time place will get me.
I was just imagining you're at a busy meeting and someone turns and goes, gentlemen, let's get started. Bangs their suitcase at the briefcase of the table and it opens and M&Ms spill out everywhere. Just hundreds and hundreds of M&Ms.
Yep.
I'll be back in a moment. leave the M&Ms. Yeah, that would be a hell of an entrance.
Do you have a memory, period? Do you have a memory that you...
Oh, so many.
How do you deal with it? Do you have like a coping mechanism?
I drink.
You're in good company.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Blacks out the horror. I try to remember that, things like that. I remember that I've done a few Dota events live and stuff like that. And the first few that I did, I was really nervous. You get through it with people saying it's just us talking. Just imagine it's a conversation, all that kind of stuff. But it kind of, something that occurred to me, if you're ever going to watch a live show, and we've all been to see like a comedian or a play or something like that, you're not hoping, well, some people might, but they're fucking assholes. You're not hoping that something goes wrong or someone fucks up or makes a tear themselves. Mm. You're hoping, I hope this goes great and it's entertaining and that's why I'm here. Even if you are some bastard who thinks, oh, I hope the lead actor falls and smacks his face on that table, you're in a minority. I genuinely think most people go there for a good time and a laugh. It's the same in any social setting. If you go to the pub, you want to have a laugh with your mates. You don't want someone to fucking beans it and spill their pint all over themselves and their briefcase full of Smarties opens up. You don't want that. Everyone wants to be cool and happy and have a good time. That's the general gist.
If this does happen, though, are you one of the lads that go, whoa, when someone drops a glass or something?
No, especially if it's someone that works at the bar or in a restaurant, someone drops a plate.
Hey. I do, mate.
You never fucking dropped anything in your life?
Yeah.
Fucking Mr. Plate Spinner over here is laughing at it. Fuck off.
Yeah. I do hate that when people just jeer at people who are doing their job or working or just make a mistake. Like, it's such an unsupportive moment of society where we're just, let's all laugh at someone who's clearly really anxious about this, really upset, really, you know. It's like that. For them, that is their sleepless night cringe moment, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate cringe comedy, and I hate when people are obviously embarrassing themselves. It really, I feel for them so much, which is bad. Sometimes I cringe about things that other people have done that were really embarrassing, because you can empathize. You can be like, oh my God, that really could have been me. There's a ton of embarrassing things I've done. And I think in general, you just have to remember that, like you said, I think Raz was just right. Most people aren't thinking about other things. The last thought at night, how often have your last thought at night ever been someone else's embarrassing moment?
Never.
It's always your own, right? Because as human beings, we're very
we go on ourselves,
self-obsessed, really. Yeah. We have to be. Yeah. That's all we know. You know, like, you don't know what's going on anyone else's
time. Head. It's like self-reflection. You know, it's like you're thinking more about your own shit than other people's shit.
I do think I would have a lot better sleeps if my brain wouldn't bring them up, though.
It does feel like
a self-destructive kind of painful experience to continually relive.
They do say that. At night, part of your dreams and part of what your brain is doing is processing and unpacking everything that happened that day. Mm. And I think figuring out what's worth saving and binning off the rest, you know, so saving some important, because sometimes you wake up the next morning, you're like, that's what I was going to do. And your brain has sort of had some time to chill and figure stuff out and make some new connections or whatever.
Yeah.
By the way, if anyone thinks that's not true, don't fucking write in, because I don't come on this podcast figuring. Go fuck yourself. So I reckon that as your brain is winding down, and you're getting ready for sleep, maybe that's when it starts unpacking. And sometimes it starts at the back. Goes, well, what's this old memory where you made a tit of yourself? Oh, no, I've brought that one up. Oh, I'm sorry, boss. I'll put it back on the pile, you know.
Yeah, it's like, stop bringing it up. I'm remembering it, and that's making you remember it more. Just leave
getting,
it.
Getting the engine going, you know, sometimes it throws up some old memories, and you're forced to deal with them. I like to imagine my brain is just a very badly organized set of machines and workers.
I wonder if there's ways to kind of, like, you know, remove memories. Is there ways to, like, overwrite memories and just, like, get rid of them?
I mean, they do say that, don't they?
Because what's that movie with Kate Winslet and Jim Carrey? Where they all die, that one.
Yeah, they ended so many memories.
Freezed to death on an iceberg.
Is it Sunshine Eternal Spotless Sunshine Mind? Isn't that about changing your memories and because they don't want to remember the fact that they broke up, or I don't know. That's that whole concept of being able to do that.
Have you ever watched it?
A long time ago, and I have a shit memory. So, I basically have that brain, that self-wiping brain. Like, I don't remember anything.
Well, I was put off the film because the title annoys me. The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I was like, I can't be bothered.
It's a really wanky title.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's one called The Englishman Who Went Up a Hill and Came Down a Mountain. And I was it's got Hugh fucking Grant in as well.
Hugh Grant.
What am I doing with this?
Have you heard the Birdman's full title?
No.
The Birdman or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance or something like that it's called.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah. The Birdman was a better title, I'm just saying.
Yeah, Birdman was a really good title.
Yeah. It's like, just make your mind up and pick a title.
Yeah, look, just be... waffly titles. Mm.
What do you think of Everything Everywhere All at Once?
I don't know, but
for, as a title.
I think it's all right, and it does sum up the film.
It sums up what's going on, yeah.
It is a bit lengthy. It could just be called Everything, or All at Once, or something like that. But in a way, I think the title does fit with the film well enough. And I did think, oh, what's this? Is this going to be another pile of wank?
Yeah.
But it is actually really, really good. So even if the title is a little bit what's the word?
Wanky
will do. Yeah. You know, the film is great, so I can forgive it that.
Mm-hmm. I guess we didn't really answer that question of how we helped them. I don't think she probably does remember the poem. I think she doesn't even know that it was him.
She doesn't remember it at all. She was 7. Yeah.
You're fine. I don't think that's that cringe. I think you did a nice thing and she was unlucky to not find it was you.
Although, I will say this, and I don't want to pop any balloons here. Or burst any balloons.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. F in primary school, she would have been about 7 or 8 years old. I've bumped into a lot of people that were at the same primary school as her back in the day, hadn't seen in years. They're like, oh my God, Mrs. F, I haven't seen you in like 30 years. How's it going? Blah, blah, blah. And they always say, do you remember that time when we were getting changed for PE? And instead of just taking your skirt off, you took everything off and you were completely naked from the waist down. She was like, yes, I do remember that. And they remember it.
Oh, no. Oh,
everyone that was there seems to remember Mrs. F flashing the entire class.
Oh, my
she was getting changed
God.
With
oh, my
me.
God.
Yeah. She laughs about it now. I mean, fucking hell. She's had 2 kids. She don't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah.
But it was like, it was just so funny that people we hadn't seen in years still remembered that. So some things do stay with people, but I don't think you would have to be in front of them. And they would not say it in a mean way. I think they would look back at it as the folly of youth. And it's just one of those funny things. And in a way, we look back and we were all kids once and it all silly things happened.
And also, there's only a chance that you might see these people a handful of times. So you'll only ever have to painfully remember that every now and then.
Yeah. It's not that bad, is it? Yeah.
I feel like I know people that have done some fucking atrociously embarrassing things but I never think about it. You know what I mean? Like you said, I'm never lying in bed thinking, God, remember when that happened and they shat themselves and blah, blah, blah. Like it doesn't even occur to me. So even if people are remembering, they might bring it up with their friends as a ha-ha, remember when that happened or I don't know. But it's never really going to come up that often.
No, I wouldn't worry about it. It's not worth worrying. Don't add that worry to your list of nice
That's not needed. Yeah. It doesn't need any more worries. Okay, all right, let's move on. Next question time.
All right. Next question. I'll be going to a wedding in England later this year. Is there anything I, and they wrote this, not me, a filthy European, need to know about English weddings? Any weird wedding traditions? And have you got any good ideas for a nice wedding gift? See, I'm Scottish, so I've never been to an English wedding. I've only done Scottish weddings, and they're pretty fucking crazy. So I'm going to have to defer to you three. What are you guys thinking?
I've been to a bunch, and obviously I am married, so I've got a decent idea, but I would love to hear your guys' wedding stories if you have any.
Yeah, weddings. And if you need to know...
Well, didn't you literally just go to one, Harry?
I literally just got back from a wedding.
Back from a wedding.
I feel like the bit that you probably need to be forewarned on, and I don't know if this happens at other weddings, but it certainly happens at a lot of weddings in England, is there's a lot of speeches, and the speeches do go on.
Oh, boy.
And look, sometimes they're really funny. Sometimes it is, you know, you get someone who's a great public speaker, or they just have some great stories, and it can be really entertaining. But that also depends on how well you're connected to the person getting married as to whether you give a shit. Because if you don't really know the person, hearing about their tiny, you know, childhood dramas for an hour from their dad is not... It's not the most enthralling.
Boring as fuck,
So I think the speeches are like probably something I would instantly flag up. Also, it is like, I don't know how it works in other countries, but like English weddings, if you're there for all of it, it's quite a long day. You know, you know, you're at a church or like a room, you know, midday, maybe late morning, and it's there until, you know, the evening ends and 2-3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, whatever.
Did you have to wear a mask?
Like, it's a marathon.
Did you have to wear a mask at the wedding?
No masks.
Last one I was at, I had to wear a mask at. It was really strange. Like,
that's really weird.
Wearing masks in the church and stuff.
The wedding I was just at, though, I'd never seen it at a wedding. It was a couple getting married. I guess I can say where it was. It was in Liverpool Town Hall. And it had this kind of like circular room. It was where all the, like, the committee members were sitting. And so it actually meant that everyone in the room could see each other. Because usually at a wedding, my experience with weddings in the past is you sit in a church somewhere near the back with a draft, staring at some tall guy's back of his head, not being able to see anything. But it was really nice to be able to actually see other people in the wedding and just, you know, point and laugh at people. Felt really good. So really nice. But yeah, wedding's long, just long. Everything is long about it.
Long.
It's really fucking long. And weird wedding traditions.
I guess I don't know how much these traditions are just an everywhere kind of thing. Like throwing the bouquet, is that an every... That's an everyone thing, I'm guessing.
Definitely in America as well, they do the bouquet thing.
Yeah.
But they do that thing in America where when the bride and groom cut the cake, they then smush it into each other's face.
Yeah, I don't...
Oh, what? Is that actually a thing
they do?
Yeah,
I thought that was just like movie stuff.
No, they really do it. It's revolting.
That's horrible.
That. I'm sure a lot of Americans don't do that. But to me, that is a sign of a fucking trashy piece of shit wedding couple.
What do you make of the, what's like the take? Is it like taking off the garter, taking off like the thingy?
It's weird and sexy.
That's a weird part of a wedding.
That's what I like.
Did you participate in that one? There's like, I don't know if that's an Americanism as well.
Is it the guy you're supposed to use his mouth or something?
I think so,
Is it with his teeth? He takes it off with his teeth.
This is the stag do you guys are thinking of.
No, I'm certain that I've been to a wedding, one of my family members' weddings, where they did that, and I was very young, so I was a bit like,
Grandpa, no!
That's a cringe!
Very Randy Marshall.
I've never heard of that. Christ. Like you said, the speeches. Oh, here's one. But you might be confused if you're coming from abroad, especially. The wedding breakfast is not breakfast.
Oh, no, it's not.
Prepare to be disappointed if you're a fan of breakfast. The wedding breakfast is just the meal you have straight after the wedding. They've just given it this stupid name, the wedding breakfast.
I guess it's the first meal you're eating after being married, so that's why it's a breakfast?
Whatever.
I guess weddings in England... Usually, if you're going to like a very English wedding, it does feel like tradition to the nines, right? It's everyone's little moment of we're going to pretend to be in Downton Abbey or whatever. It's like everyone just kind of pretends to be kind of posh for a little bit. It's very weird.
Everyone's dressed. A lot of people that don't normally wear suits are wearing suits.
Yeah.
You know, lads who would normally be wearing like mechanics uniforms are dressed up, I think. If you go to a wedding, and I have been to a few where you know everyone there, it is one of the best days.
Oh,
apart from your own wedding. Like, if it's your own wedding, there's nothing like it. Because it's like being the star of the show, you know. But not the groom so much, but certainly for the bride. It's fantastic. And just seeing all your mates and all your family, and everyone's so happy to be there, happy to see you. They've all got lovely things to say. That's great. If it's a friend's wedding, it's amazing because you can relax. You don't have to do anything. Like, I've been to a lot of weddings where you... everybody there apart from a few people, and it's such a good piss up. It's just a massive party and you're celebrating two people that you love, and it's brilliant. So I would say if you But I've also been to a lot of weddings where I knew the bride, kind of, or the groom, sort of.
What's your tactic for those kind of weddings? When you go, because this person doesn't say, they don't, I assume if they're traveling from out of country, they must know them quite well, I guess.
You'd think so, yeah.
What's your tactic for turning up to a rogue wedding? You know one person vaguely because you worked together 10 years ago.
Harry, can you remember what my response was to how do I block out bad memories?
Yes, I think it was
start early and drink often. I would say in general you don't want to get pissed if nobody knows you.
Oh my god, yeah.
By yourself wanking.
Yeah, but you definitely want to have a few, take the edge off, and that'll loosen you up to go up and say, how do you know so and so? And they'll be like, oh yeah. Well, I'm his brother. Oh, I didn't know.
Lovely,
that.
Some, lovely like, to meet weird you. For yourself, like yeah. I serve with him in Nam. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
I saved his life many times. Yeah, exactly.
And yeah. What about wedding gifts? Like, do we?
They have a list. If they don't have a list, they're amateurs, and you shouldn't get them anything.
Yeah,
yeah.
Have a fucking list. What, like, it's not like some choosy beggars thing. It's literally, it saves so much trouble. You don't turn up with the same gift as five other people.
Mm. Yeah.
Get a list, honestly. Yeah.
What was on your list, Perian? What was like top of your list?
This is an interesting one. I had a bunch of things on my list, but let me tell you something. My best man and my mates, who I've been in school with, didn't get me a present for our wedding. Didn't get us, okay. I should say, a present. They were meant to, but my best man delegated it to probably the least capable member of my group of mates, and he forgot, and they've never made up for it.
That's heartbreaking.
I remind him about it often. Mrs. F reminds me to remind them about it quite often. But yeah, lazy bastards, you know. And we were young; we were like 25, so you know they were like
just by age. That's fine. Yeah, I can see that happening.
Exactly. It's the sort of thing. Nowadays, you'd be like, you know, we'd have bought it months before because old people, we don't have anything else to do. Young people are like, yeah, we'll be there, mate. Yeah, we'll be there. When is it? Next weekend? Yeah, yeah, I'll be there. And then you turn up at the last minute, you've forgotten the present, and it doesn't matter. It's gonna be lost anyway. Who cares? Like that's weddings in your 20s, so it's gonna be great fun.
So what did they not get you? What were you looking for? What was it?
Nothing in particular, but they were going to get us a microwave, which would have been great because we didn't have
fucking
one.
Great.
They just fucking forgot. I mean, we needed stuff. We were literally had just got a flat in London. We just moved up to London. This was 2001, so we needed shit like that.
Yeah,
we had to go out and fucking buy a microwave.
I guess that's usually the beats, right? Is you know you bought a place or something, and then you're getting married, and the wedding gifts are the shit that you need for a house.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see a lot of people nowadays do like a honeymoon fund because usually
I never really thought of that.
People are living together and have bought all the stuff they need
right.
when they get married, so they don't need like toasters and stuff because they already got that shit, so they'll do a honeymoon fund that you can just they'll like give the bank details of it and it's just like contribute if you want kind of thing. I think that's a pretty good
we would have done that, but my dad's gift to us was the honeymoon,
so lovely.
Nice.
It was great. We went to Bali for 2 weeks. Yeah, it was
very
crazy.
Nice. 2 weeks in Bali. Holy shit, what a honeymoon.
Oh my god.
Damn. At the hotel that then became a Trump hotel.
Oh.
That's a stinger. It wasn't then. It was something else.
It's what he claims.
But I can see why he bought it. It's got a golf course attached to it. So of course he bought it.
It's nice for some.
Have any of you been to a Scottish wedding?
No, Raz. Never. I was going to ask you about it. What is the difference then? From what have you said? What have we said that you wouldn't align with?
I mean, it pretty much all sounds the same, except more people are wearing kilts. and you know, at the end of the night, this happens at a lot of Scottish parties, not just like
fights.
Not just weddings, but we did like we played this fucking Loch Lomond song. And everyone,
can you give us a rendition?
Can you sing for us,
I'll take the high road, and you take the low road, then I'll be in Scotland for me and my true love. You know, you get the gist.
Nice.
But you just form like this fucking massive circle, and like the bride and the groom will be in the middle, and everyone just like goes around in a circle, going in and out on them. It's fucking amazing.
Sounds great.
That sounds great.
It's fucking amazing.
And you do see a lot of kilts at English weddings as well.
Yeah.
If any Scotsman goes to a wedding, he's wearing a fucking kilt.
Oh yeah, I'm fucking wearing a kilt to any motherfucker's wedding.
Of course.
You know? Are you going full kilt, Raz, or are you going covered up slightly kilt?
You're asking me if I'm going to wear undies because at my brother's wedding, I didn't wear any. And I did a fucking twirl on the dance floor, and I might have flashed a few people, but...
yeah, that's a cringe moment to think about when you're trying to fall asleep.
I didn't feel bad, though, because my brother's mate did a cartwheel while he was doing a speech.
What? Why? Yeah. Was he not wearing undies?
He wasn't wearing undies, no.
So everyone flushed his dick?
Everyone was looking up at my brother giving the speech, and he was, like, walking in the back, so my brother, looking out, could see him. And I happened to turn my head because I knew he was going to do something daft. And he just did a running cartwheel mid-speech and like flashed like the mother-in-law and all that stuff. It was fucking great.
I mean, it does feel like if you're not wearing any underwear of a kilt, you're kind of just... You're kind of looking for that moment. There's kind of an objective and a decision made in the morning that there's going to be a party for someone.
I kind of forgot that I didn't have any undies on. So I was sitting up on like the front bench of the church and... Like my brother's best man was like, just like to me saying like, close your legs.
The poor vicar.
Yeah.
Just the front getting
pretty sure like, my balls were just like sitting on the bench.
Oh my god! Would you wear a kilt if you could, Pyrrhon?
I am a Forsyth, so that is a Scottish name. So we do have a tartan. I could, but Mrs. F wanted me to. But I said, as someone that was born in England, I think it would be offensive if I was Scottish.
I'll give you a kilt pass. You've got a kilt pass.
I appreciate that, Ravs. If I ever go to a wedding with you, I'll wear a kilt.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to give you the underwear pass, though, Pyrrhon.
I will definitely wear underwear. I'm not going to flash anybody. Believe me, nobody wants to see that. Yes, I will definitely wear underwear. But I feel like it would be offensive in a way to wear it because I know if I was Scottish, I would be, especially for an Englishman, to wear a kilt.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Nice. Like, if I was from somewhere else, maybe you could get away with it. Be like, look at this Italian lad wearing a kilt. Way, one of us. But for an Englishman, you're like, fucking sus.
Yeah.
which wedding do you think is more drunken, an English wedding or a Scottish wedding?
It's got to be the Scottish wedding.
It's got to be Scottish, right? It's not even a debate.
No.
I think maybe an Irish wedding would be in the mix.
I think that would be certainly in the mix.
That being said, I've been to a couple Welsh weddings, and those... also pretty boozy. So, I don't know. I think English probably the least boozy.
Out of all those, it would be the least.
Well, we're a bit more refined down here.
We're not.
Raises pinky. Raises pinky. All right. Should we move on? Next question then. Yeah.
Is the worst liquid to put in a water gun?
There's a certain liquid I want to use here as a crutch, and I'm not going to do it.
Was it jism?
It would be too thick. It would be a terrible liquid to have in the water pistol.
You'd want to water it down a bit.
You'd have to water that shit down. Yeah. It would dribble out. It'd be terrible.
I was going to say period blood would be pretty
bad. Oh my god! That's pretty bad.
I was just going to say, like, an acid, like, just pure chlorine or something. But yeah, fuck it.
Like, fighting a vampire and he's like, fucking.
Oh, he's loving it. He's absolutely loving it.
What kind of fucked movie is this where just there's a priest firing period blood at vampires?
I've got period blood in this water. Oh, I will stay behind you. Don't worry.
I'm not getting splashed. I'm good. I feel like that question is just answered. Period, fucking right on the bat, done.
I can't think of a single thing worse than period blood.
I don't know. What about like liquid shit, like diarrhea, which is just like.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I would rather get period blood on me than cum on me, and I would definitely rather get cum on me than shit.
Yeah. So I feel like shit's the worst one of those, right?
Liquid
poop. Just
spray it on you with one of those super soakers, you know?
Blasting you with shit. Oh, no! Oh, my God. That's terrible.
It's going in my mouth.
What am I screaming? It's going in my mouth.
That's got to be worse. That's got to be the worst one.
Yeah, that would suck. Okay, great, good. Sorry, I love that question. I thought we had to throw it in. It was a short one.
Sort of quick fire one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Dear 0 Degrees, I attended the final day of Glastonbury Festival the other weekend with some friends and ended up getting very drunk. Unfortunately, I had to drive to London to go to work on the Monday morning. Shouldn't have done that. Getting up early, still a little hungover, i.e. a little drunk. This is why you shouldn't get drunk if you
need to drive. Yes, not good.
I left my friends to pack up and headed off on the 3-hour-long drive. As I entered the city, my stomach began grumbling, caused no doubt by the copious amounts of beer and fast food we'd all ingested during the festival. Began to gurgle worse and worse. He needs a water pistol, is what he needs. As you get closer to the car park near my office. After getting stuck in traffic, I finally pulled into the... These people can't write.
These people aren't intelligent, Darian. No. They didn't go to university, remember?
Pulled into the underground car park, and I knew there was no way I'd make it on the 15-minute walk without shitting my pants. I quickly parked up in a free space, using the car door as cover, pulled down my trousers. Actually... squatted down and spray shit all over the place for what felt like a lifetime. Quickly cleaning... I'm going to skip that because it's disgusting. Quickly cleaning myself up, some fast food napkins left in the car, I drove away from the crime scene and parked on another level before exiting to work. The problem is, I was caught on CCTV.
No.
And my company was notified. Do you think I have grounds for unfair dismissal? As technically, shitting diarrhea in a public car park... Can I just say... The words technically and shitting diarrhea in a public car park proves you have no case.
Yep.
Okay? Is nothing to do with my employers. So I don't see how I can be fired for it. Please help. Sacked.
Yeah.
Get out of my seat.
There's no helping you.
Well, I don't... You could claim... if he went to the doctors and, you know, could claim that he was ill, is that...
Yep.
You know,
can't fire someone because they were sick. People have stomach issues, you know? When you got to go, you got to go.
Go in your car.
But I mean,
wouldn't you go in your car? Because it'd be disgusting. Yeah, well, now it's disgusting in a car park. Thanks, mate.
Actually, that's true. If you're going to do it, you've got to just shit all over
better?
The floor of your car, don't you?
I don't know. But, I mean, what if, like, you know, he did it and then came back, like, 2 minutes later and, like, you know, had some water and was, like, you know, washing it away and stuff? Would that make it better?
I think that would be acceptable.
He just did a shit and dash, you know what I mean?
Something terrible has happened. Something awful
has
happened.
Emergency situation. Yeah. You
but
want
I'm
him to go to
it.
Work. You don't want him to turn up work with shitty clothes.
Yeah.
He poops in the car park. He's like, guys, I'm going to need 10 minutes. I'm going to sort something out. I'll be back. And goes and cleans it up as best he can. You'd at least say, well, we did catch him on CCTV going, oh, behind a car door, shitting in a car park, which is like, that's a bad B-side to any record.
I want to know how do they know that they were caught on CCTV?
No, their license plate. The company said to him, we saw your car. You pulled over. There's you clearly shit in the car park because Steve had to go clean it up.
Oh.
It's so bad. Like,
it is grim as fuck.
There's something also about like public defecation that just I'm just not okay with in any way. Like,
it says desperate. It really says desperate. Either you're a desperate person in dire need of help or it's a desperate situation and you couldn't help it or you just don't give a fuck.
I just imagine, you know, going for a poo, you're in such like a vulnerable, a vulnerable moment, such a vulnerable state, and just him squatted over, he's teetering because he's drunk, you know, like, and he thinks he gets away with it. That's the bit. You're like, yeah, it's all worked out.
I wouldn't
want to
work there anymore.
It's all golden.
I wouldn't
want
to work there.
Yeah, so that'd be too embarrassed.
Like, that would be the cringe moment. If my boss said to me, if Lewis came up to me and said, I've got video footage, Lydia, of you shitting on Queen Square.
We've just posted a TikTok on the Yogscast official account of you shitting in Queen Square.
I'd be like, fair enough. I'm gone. I'm changing my name and moving country. Like, I wouldn't be fighting for anything.
I like that the question is it grounds for unfair dismissal? Like, you 100% it is. It's not. Like,
he's saying, is it unfair dismissal? So can he sue them and say, how dare you fire me for shitting in the car park? He's claiming that he's been wronged in some way.
I feel like we need lawyers who are listening to 0 Degrees to, like, come and represent this person just because I want this to go to court.
Yes,
I want this to go to
there.
Court.
Send him down, Your Honour.
Yeah, same. I hope I get jury duty or something for this.
I don't think they can do a jury trial for this.
They've got to go all the way. They've got to go all the way.
All the way to the top. Come on. Yeah.
That actually reminded me. Sorry, Lids.
No, go.
I remember this is when we just moved to Westbourne, which is where I grew up in Bournemouth. We've been there for like a week or so. Went to the shop. And an old lady who was obviously a homeless old lady, but when you were younger, she just looked like a slightly disheveled old lady, came out of the Marks and Spencer's, I think it was at the time, took down her trousers and just peed right there in the middle of the pavement in front of like dozens of us. And I was like 9 and I was so shocked because she was about my granny's age. She looked an old lady, most old ladies kind of looked like my granny back then. I was like, oh my God, why is someone's granny peeing on the pavement? I was horrified. I hadn't thought of it in years. Thank you, Harry, for bringing that up.
I've actually got a worse one than that. I was working retail in a Dunn's store, which is like this Irish like retailer. And this old lady was in like the homeware aisle looking at like cushions and lamps and shit. And then she just shit everywhere. All down her dress, all over the floor.
Oh, no.
Gagging. People were gagging. We had to take her into the staff elevator.
They were gagging for it.
No. We had to take her into the staff, Rob's staff elevator.
Oh, yeah.
To go get her changed. Of the day, the staff elevator, and for the next couple of days, just fucking reeked of shit.
Oh, that's really
horrible.
Sad. That
the horrible. Thing is, when it's like an old person or something like that, like I just feel bad. You know, it just sucks. It just sucks.
Really
like, you know, they clearly, there's something clearly going very wrong, and it's a disastrous moment for them. But when it is just some hungover young lad who's been to Glastonbury, who's popping a squat and shitting in a car park, I think my levels of empathy have probably actually have dropped quite a lot.
This is entirely a self-inflicted misery. Like, he went and got trolleyed.
Oh, you guys must have been in a situation like this before, though, where you're like, your stomach's just like, blah, 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 blah. Oh, shit, I'm in the middle of nowhere. What the fuck am I going to do?
It's
like,
awful.
That,
I've had that before. I remember I was coming back from work. It's about a half-hour train ride. We'd been to the pub. And we'd sunk a few pints quickly. I got on the train not needing the toilet. But by the time I got near my stop, I was actually doubled over in pain. My bladder was, like, close to bursting. And I was just clinging on to the pole, like, oh, my God.
Oh my God.
I was limping off the train because I was in so much pain. I had, like, 3 pints worth. Desperate to go out. And I hadn't taken the tactical wee before I got on the train. And as I'm getting on the train, I'm thinking, oh, shit, I kind of need the toilet. And every station we got to, I was getting increasingly desperate. And the doors would open. I'd be like, trying to get fresh air. And see if there was a toilet on the platform. Like, next one, shh. Next year is long. Oh, there's me going to the toilet.
And everything's going so slow. That train is moving so slowly right now.
I'm fucking pushing it.
Come on.
No, this was on the overground.
Couldn't you just popped off and had a wee wee?
Well, no, because it's broad daylight.
Men always do that. They're always whipping out and swinging it about and pissing everywhere. Typical men.
Typical men shitting in car parks and weeing on train platforms. I mean, they have people. There are constantly trains coming and going. It's a train platform. It's not in the countryside where you can go into a bush. It's like a literal platform with people on both sides, and you're there going, I'm sorry, I've got to.
Also, wait, on that point, are you pissing onto the rails, or are you pissing like...
You can die! You
wouldn't
die.
Pee on the rails, Harry. What are you
talking
about?
They're electrocuted.
On the underground.
The pee can't go back up. The electricity doesn't go up the pee, does
yes,
it?
Yes, it can. Why someone died. It?
Yeah, it's a stream
because
of
the pee,
liquid.
The pee, it's not actually a stream, there's little breaks in it, right? Also, it's moving quite quickly.
Faster than electricity. You urinate faster
than
electricity.
Are you single firing your piss as well? At little piss like,
yeah, that's the tactic. That's the tactic. When you're pissing down onto rails, you've got to do single shot.
You'd have to make sure there was no connection.
Yeah,
no solution. Be flying around everywhere. He's doing it. He's doing it. He's taking the biggest gamble. This is unbelievable. People will be filming it.
A Russian tourist, I think, went to piss on the rails in one of the, like an underground station in London and got electrocuted and died, like during
this
the middle of the day. I read it in a newspaper.
I read it
in a newspaper. It definitely, I think, it's very rare.
Urinates on. Well, the first result is fellow passenger. We'll skip that one. Live rail. Polish tourist.
There we go.
Killed by urinating on 750 volt electric railway line.
There we go.
Wait, was that underground or overground?
He was 41. He got a trip to London. Is it a South London station? So it wouldn't have been on the underground. It would have been the overground.
Oh
my God!
Got to be careful.
What a way to go!
Yeah, what a way getting electrocuted whilst you're taking a piss.
Like, God, you got a family. Sap. They had to tell your wife, the police, sorry, your husband died. Oh my God, was in a car accident.
God, you would die with your dick out.
Was he murdered?
You'd be dying with your dick out.
I don't think the dick could be left. I think that if you're just getting electrocuted.
I guess so.
Oh my God, just blow up.
They want to do an open casket.
He's with the kibble, so it's riding up. His penis is just a little matchstick. It's a husk. People are alive rail, isn't it? That idiot. Oh, I was always telling him to stop doing that.
He was addicted to it. Oh, he loved the thrill.
He loved the thrill.
The single shot thrill.
He did shots, single shots. It's so fast. How can the electricity travel that fast?
Fuck's sake. Fuck's sake.
Right, yeah.
Brilliant.
So what was our final words to this man who willingly shat? We say that he sort of shat in
Fuck
his
off.
Van. Yes. But I think he does have a chance if he tries to spin it like he was very ill and it caught him unaware.
He should have just
be straight up lying. Like, that is just lying.
He should have just tucked his trousers into his socks and just accepted fate.
And just got on with his day.
Yeah.
But what is our advice for if this happens to people in the future, though? Like, how do we avoid this apart from, you know...
Make the situation right. People will look much more favorably on you if you own up to a mistake and try to put it right. Admit your fault. Mm-hmm. Not always, but you're much better standing than if you just try and hide it and go park in another space.
That's play your hangover off as food poisoning or something, and that's how you had to
lie.
You should have driven back over it a couple of times and just like smeared it out. No one would have noticed then. You could have just said you were drove through Cowpat or something.
Oh,
that's what you should have done. Yeah,
or keep a couple of like plastic Asda bags in the back of your car and just.
Oh yeah, some wet wipes as well.
No, they have breathable holes. They have holes so you can't suffocate yourself. Literally, terribly designed for capturing liquid shit.
I got told a story about someone that was in a van with some workmates, and he went to fart, and it turned out it wasn't a fart, and was driving along, and no one said anything, and he thought, okay, I've got away with this, but he had to obviously get out of the van. I'm saying they must have smelt it and they were being polite.
100%.
There's no way they wouldn't have. And I think he had to ask one of his mates to go into like an Asda and go buy him another pair of trousers and just tell them that I've shat myself. Like, just have to
just
be open
up.
About
you
it.
Gotta own up.
I just shat myself. I really need someone to help me out. Like, that would be mortifying. That I would never be able to sleep at night after something like that.
I used to work as a window cleaner, and I was working with one of my mates, and I'm not going to name him, obviously, but he shit himself, and then it was just like he kept saying, mate, I need a shit, and nobody's in to let me in to use their toilet, fuck, I need a shit. So he just shit himself, and then just took his boxers off and threw them away, like wiped his ass with his shitty boxers, and then threw them into the Scottish countryside.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Is this like bad belly, like diarrhea, or is this just like a full-on like, shit?
I think it was just a full-on shit.
How can you not hold that in until a little bit
longer? That feels like a choice. I feel like he made a choice.
It certainly wasn't me.
It definitely wasn't me.
I feel like I would have held it in until I got to someone or the down tools and went to go find somewhere to do it. But
was there not a bush or something? He just full-on just shat himself.
What they should sell? You know the way we've got, I don't know if you've seen this, it's a collapsible laundry basket. It's like a plastic laundry basket.
Mm.
It's got a solid bottom. It's not like one of those ones that folds out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like corrugated. So you pull it up. So you just need, everybody needs, you have it in your car, you've got a spare tire. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've got a jack. Mm-hmm. Now you've got the port-a-loo. And I don't know if that name's taken at all.
No, that's
innovation.
I'm thinking portable and loo. I've combined the two.
Port-a-loo. Mm.
And that's you just clever. Go cluck, 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 and it forms like a bucket. Little lid that you can just about crouch over, do your business, and then you just seal it up. It's airtight. You put it back in the boot. You get home. Oh, tip it away. Clean it out with the hose. Oh, and then you're ready to go.
I thought you were going to propose something different, Pete. I thought you were going to propose just this kind of shame, like consecrated shame thing that you could just raise up around yourself
and then
just shit yourself with no one being able to see, and then leave the shit on the floor and leave.
Oh, but then you're in a hot box of your own shit for a minute before you get
It's just
out.
A curtain. It's very airy.
Yeah, it's a shame.
And then
shame.
You wheel away in the curtain on CCTV. And they're like, who's watching that shame curtain?
It's like when you have to eat the bird and you have to put the napkin over your head.
Autolan, I think it's called.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, disgusting. To hide your shame from God, I think. that's why they wear the napkin on their face when they eat that. Did you speak about that on a previous episode?
No.
One of my favorite subjects.
It's a good little. I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
A tiny baby bird that they stuff. They force feed it like corn and stuff like that. And then you eat the bird whole. Mm-hmm.
And you wear a towel or a napkin.
You wear a cloth over your head while you do it to hide your face from God because it's shameful.
Wait, who does? Who's eating this bird?
I thought it was France.
The French.
Yeah.
And its beak and its little claws cut up your gums, and the blood is meant to add to the flavor and all this kind of shit. Only in France. It's pretty crazy.
I read about it on Hannibal. They did it in the TV show with Mads. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's revolting. I think Jeremy Clarkson ate it on an episode or something.
He would have, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
On that note, I think this is a perfect place to call it. One question each. I like that. I think we done good.
You guys did four questions.
That's good. Yeah. That's good going. Wow. Last week, Ravs and I did two.
To be fair, they were very lengthy questions.
They were like A4 pages.
Harry, have we got a run update?
I feel like without context, we might have to do a run update another week, because without context, Pyrion, it's such a long story of just nothingness.
Next time I come down, you guys can fill me in on whatever.
I'll fill you in on the run update. We'll have a run update next week where we can fill Lydia in exactly on Ron and all that goodness. You are our first guest.
Yeah, our most special.
The honour is overwhelming.
We're going to be making guests pretty special as well, so you're going to be our first guest for a while.
It's going to be a rarity. Yeah.
Well, I am genuinely honoured. It's always a privilege to come on someone else's podcast because it feels like you're intruding, but you guys have made me feel very welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having us. You're welcome.
Fuck.
Hey, thank you. And I can't wait to see all you guys. I'm going to try and come down in August or something like that. That'll
be sick.
Yes, definitely.
Maybe we'll do a round two. Round two with Pyrion.
Oh, that'd be good.
IRL with some pints.
Yes, let's go.
Yes.
Very nice. All right, well, stay tuned for that. If you've enjoyed listening, make sure to rate the podcast, wherever you're listening to it. Send in some more questions. We are overloaded still, but I did go through some of the new ones today, and there's some amazing ones. I feel like the consistency gets better with time as they learn what we want.
The time-sensitive ones are my favourite as well. When people say, like, please help in 3 days.
Help, I'm trapped in an elevator.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, that was sent in 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. I love it.
That's always good. And go and go check out Mailbag, Triforce Mailbag. Give it a little listen if you've been listening to 0 Degrees. Sounds like
that's
you'd
all
like
you're
going to
get
Triforce
for the next
times.
Few weeks because we're all away. So we pre-recorded all the mailbag episodes. Which is something you budding young podcasters will have to start thinking about, is pre-recording and putting out an episode while you're away. Otherwise, people go, where's the episode?
Yeah, we're not organised enough for that.
We've been trying to get ahead, and here we are.
We're actually
going to be late this week. Your first tip to us was consistency was key. Be live on the same day. And this week we're going to be...
I didn't want to break his heart and tell him. This one's going to be the only one that's late.
Shocking.
Oh, it's quality. Thank you though, Pyrion. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll catch you all guys next time. See you later.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.